Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy.
Hello, everyone. Konnichiwa, Biff.
Hi, how's it going?
Very
as I crunch away my popcorn in my teeth, thank you.
You know what? Popcorn is the perfect snack to have during this podcast. This is our sideshow. I reached out to Biff the other day and said, hey, what are you thinking? And you instantly sent me a list from two different sources. Here's the summer movie run. Here's what's coming out.
Yep.
Let's talk about this. And I actually did some homework. I knew half of them instantly, about a quarter of them I'm like, yeah, I think I've heard of, and I watched the trailer. I'm like, right, it's that movie. And a quarter of them I haven't heard from. I actually did a little research for this. I actually broke it down. How would you like to move forward? Because I broke my list down, into four components. What I will actually get my fat ass into an AMC to see. What I will go to a drive-in to see.
Yep.
And by that, I mean, I kind of want the big screen experience, but I don't know if it's worth it. But if it's with another movie or it's the whole atmosphere and the family likes to do that, what I will wait for streaming to see, and what if I'm on a cross-country flight and there's only one screen and this movie comes out, I'm walking off the plane.
Okay, sure.
So that's how I break it.
I would say I could probably align mine to that. I think that for the last category, I would also ask the why categories, like what were they thinking kind of a category, right? I think there's movies that you look and say, yeah, there's just no way. And then like, let's just say Clifford, in honor of the late great Charles Grodin, right? But then there's other movies like in the past where they said, what were they thinking, right?
Because the way movies get made.
Yeah.
20 people have to say yes.
You're right.
It wasn't
somebody has to foot the cash.
Wasn't like somebody went to Bill Gates or Mark Zuckerberg. Hey, will you eat the script? This is great. Here's a $40 million to go make this. It had to go through so many pairs of hands to get to the decision makers, who then said,
yeah,
I'm good with this. Let's roll the dice.
Let's go with that format. And are you going to start with the stuff that you were, I think you probably will want to start?
The ones I want to see want to go? Okay, we can start.
But within the ones you want to see, there's that kind of the natural,
The first movie I know I want to see, not in a theater, but I want to see in a theater opening weekend.
Yeah.
I want, it's so scary to say because we talked, before I still, a month past my second shot, but I'm still living in a masked world.
I want
the movie theater feel vibe of an opening weekend for Black Widow.
Yep. 100% with you.
I'll still wear the mask. And that's something that with the wife and I, to the second half of the Marvel movies, we always wanted to see him opening night, if not opening night, opening weekend. Yeah. Much to our son's dismay, that they find out that we saw both Infinity War and Endgame without them. When they went with us, they thought, Infinity War I saw with the boys. But when Endgame came out, and then the Rise of Skywalker, same thing. It's like, I don't want them ruining this. So wife and I will probably dump them at my mom's and go see that. The next one, and it's the same thing, movies like this. And I know DC movies are not as good as Marvel movies. I say that. I love the DC movies. I really do. But they're not. They're not generally Marvel, but Suicide Squad. I'm definitely going to see that.
I will say this. Among the DC stuff, I know that it got crapped on last time, but I love the Suicide Squad. I love the first
I can't Suicide believe Squad. Will Smith, who was the best part. He was the best part of the Suicide Squad, that he's not in this. I am so upset. Now, here's the next two that,
Before we leave Suicide Squad, did you know that Margot Robbie plays hockey?
I did not.
Crazy, right? I think she's Australian.
Australian,
right? Yeah, it turns out that she saw it and she wanted to learn. And so a bunch of guys that I play pickup with, apparently Margot Robbie was on their beer league team before she became, you know, Margot Robbie.
That but, is you know. Fantastic.
Yeah. So, yeah. Look,
we've had attractive women in our dressing room. We have not had Margot Robbie.
No.
So the next two movies.
Oh, wait. But I did play with Manon Rayon once.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, she was beautiful. Was she a good goalie?
Well, she was a good goalie, but she skated out.
Oh, when she played with you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder.
Actually, there was a we kind of digressed. So, well, I'll just stop one quick thing here. A recent she posted something on Twitter where she's essentially helping her son, you know, practice, and she's in net.
Saw it.
And she's like, "Oh fuck, she still looks good in net."
You have to remember, let's put that on the list for next time, because you sent that clip and it's like, yeah, that was great. Her son's doing the circle drill.
Right.
And he's getting the pass, he's going down to the one knee and stuff like that. It's like, it's funny because I'd be shooting in my driveway, just tennis balls. My mom would come home from work and get a net for me. And God bless her. She's my mom's tough as fuck.
Yeah.
She did okay. She didn't duck out of the way. She wasn't her. I wasn't shooting against an Olympic quality. Okay, so back in it. So the only other two movies that 100% I want to go see, they're not big, huge Marvel or DC movie.
Okay.
But I love me some Ryan Reynolds.
And
I want to see the Hitman's the Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. It's a sequel. It's a sequel where Samuel L. Jackson is like the Hitman's Bodyguard, where Samuel L. Jackson is a hitman who has to have a rival of his. And so this is the sequel to that. It's stupid. It's shoot it up. It's farcical. Yeah. Can't wait to see it. I mean, I do. I will see. I would go to the movie theater to see Ryan Reynolds commercials for his gin company or for his phone company. They're that good.
Phone company. I like him a lot too. But he has another one called Free Guy.
We saw that. This is one of those movies that was supposed to come out before COVID.
Right.
And it's been scratched for 3 years.
Right.
He's a character inside a video game who becomes self-aware.
Right. And I'm not. So I'm thinking, is that like, you know, was it EdTV? Is that what they're called? You know, the one that there was one where Jim Carrey was kind of like that, right? Where he was actually a star of a, you know, TV game. So it's kind of
The Truman Show.
The Truman Show. I'm sorry. The Truman Show. Right. Right. So I'm thinking.
And this game is Grand Theft Auto. You know what I mean? Okay. It's a kid. Right. He's a bank teller who every day his bank gets robbed.
Right.
And he has to drop to the ground and, you know, and turn over all the money. And just one day he's like, fuck that. And then it looks like it becomes kind of part of the Matrix. It's like, you're in this game, but this is what's really going on, you know, type thing. And it's farcical. It's silly.
Yeah.
It's Ryan Reynolds. It's shoot 'em up. But I want to in the boys. That's something. Yeah. The wife and I will not sneak out on our own to see Free Guy.
Right.
You know, the first time we see that, we will see that as a family. But that rounds out my list. Do you have anything that you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to a theater to see?
So I don't know if I could go to the theater to see. So but I think that there is. So the only one that I was really excited about, and it's already been out, but I haven't gone, is The Army of the Dead with Batista. And you know, it's a zombie movie, and it's Batista, and I like him a lot. And I think it's going to be, you know, this kind of the mindless whatever stuff. But I feel like I kind of need that at this point. So in terms of something that I'd like to see at a theater, I think that's the one. And I think once again going back to Black Widow and Suicide Squad, but or more the Black Widow. I think it's fantastic that Black Widow gets her own movie, and I guess this is the second generation that we're starting, right? Of, you know, this might be the first of that next wave of Marvel that's coming out, right?
Well, the Phase Two is largely TV, because because WandaVision, WandaVision did really really well, and then Falcon and the Winter Soldier did really, really well. And starting this week, and I meant to mention it in the show last week, starting last week, actually, by the time this drops, June 9th, Loki. Yep. Loki gets...
Right, Loki is a big one,
So those are three you know, series. And again, WandaVision right. did huge, and Falcon Winter Soldier yeah. did huge. Loki will do huge. There's a bunch of movies coming out that are part of Phase 2, but this is a prequel, you know.
Okay,
spoiler
right.
alert, she dies and doesn't come back in Endgame. So so she so this is a prequel. It looks pretty great. And it's like, oh, it's a prequel. It's before I think she becomes part of S.H.I.E.L.D. or maybe how she becomes yep. part of S.H.I.E.L.D. So maybe we'll see Samuel L. Jackson. But theoretically, we shouldn't see Thor. We shouldn't see Captain America. We shouldn't see Iron Man. You know, this is all before they, you know, they came into being. But
we might see Hawkeye.
Yes, because Hawkeye. Right. And I haven't seen a trailer. As you probably know, I really want to see a movie, I work my ass off to not see a trailer. Like, I'll get up and walk out of a theater and stand in the hallway and wait for the trailer to end. Or I just close my eyes, put my fingers in my ear, and hum something by, I don't know, Archers of Loaf, so I don't have to even hear a word. I know a little about this, but just in the Avengers movie, when
there was a history, there's
a team up. The whole it comes up in the Avengers at one point where she says Barton Hawkeye was sent to take care of her because he's an assassin. Right. You know, you got to take her off the board. He made a different decision. And ironically, when Black Widow goes to interrogate Loki on the hovercraft, I'm going to shut up now because this is not an Avengers 2012 sideshow. Yep. So, do you have? So the drive-in, what's going to start my list of drive-ins, I'll preface this by saying I will probably see this at a drive-in. I will probably see this at a drive-in with Joe because it's Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Right. Yeah, and you know what? I liked Ghostbusters when it came out, but I don't have that affinity to Ghostbusters really. So, and I never saw the remake. So I don't know.
Well, yeah. So Joe's Sophie's Choice is being marooned on a desert island, and you can have Back to the Future or Ghostbusters.
Right.
And I think he goes Back to the Future, but I think it's a coin toss.
Interesting.
Or it's on this day. So we went to a drive-in last summer. We've gone to a drive-in, not last summer, the two summers before. And we've seen, the classic movies. And if they do, God forbid, they do a Ghostbusters and a Ghost and the Ghostbusters Afterlife, together.
Right.
So I would, if Joe called up and said, hey, you want to go check this out at the theater, I'd be in. But I'm guessing I will see this with Joe and the family or the families this summer.
Right. That'll be fun.
The other one, the next one is it's called Luca. I don't know much about it, but we're big Pixar
fans. It's a Pixar, right?
It's Pixar and Disney.
Yeah.
And for the most part, we the Disney stuff. But if it's playing with something else, again, there's going into the theater, and then the step down is, I want the big screen. I want the atmosphere. So if this is playing with something else that we like, or I don't really want to pay full price for that or that, but hey, they're playing together.
Bad Pixar movies are actually pretty good, and the good Pixar movies are amazing, right? It's kind of low risk, low risk choice. I 100% with you.
And then the next one, staying in the Disney theme, Jungle Cruise. Dude, I know what I'm getting into. It's a rock movie. But I'm telling you, I was not a Disney person. My wife tried to get me to go to Disney for the years we were together before we had kids. She's a Disney person, loves it. I never walked through those gates until we had a four-week-old, five-week-old. Huh? The little guy wasn't 2 months old the first time we took him there. And then I was hooked for life. Absolutely. I still hate the company. I hate the history. I hate so much of it. Disney and the NFL are the same thing. Fuck you for making me not be able to walk away from you forever. I've walked away from other things like Major League Baseball, but I can't kick the NFL habit. And yet, I think I'll get there. But Disney, I'll be a Disney guy for life. The Jungle Cruise, the first time I went on that, and the 101st time I went on that, and the 614th time I went on that, each and every time, I loved it. It is my favorite ride. Yeah. Turns out, that Weird Al has a great song called Skipper Dan about a guy who goes to Juilliard and wants to be an actor's actor, you know, wants to do Shakespeare, like in London, and he ends up being a skipper on the Jungle Cruise. The jokes are stupid as fuck, and you got the script is always 60 to 70% the same. 60 to 70% the same. But dude, it's my kind of awful groaning humor.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there's 500 kinds of trees here, you know, on the Jungle Cruise. Let me point some out. There's one. Oh, there's a tree. There's a tree. You know, it's like, oh, and what I love about it is it was this amazing ride with these animatronics that blew your fucking mind in 1955.
Well, is it animatronics or do they call it something else? Because like it's like pre-animatronics,
right? And they've updated some of them over the years. But yeah, basically, it's the same ride from 1955.
I feel that. So I actually had this, you know, vague memory of the Jungle Cruise from when I went there in like 1970 or something like that. I was like 5 years old. And I had this vague memory of the Jungle Cruise. I'm thinking, like I remember two things from being at Disneyland in like 1970. One is the Jungle Cruise, and the other one is the one where, and I think the ride is now gone, but the one where they put you through this thing where you first become huge, so you're much bigger than everything else, and then you become tiny, and then you see, and then I remember distinctly this eye coming from the sky, this giant human eye, you know, on the projector. So I remember those two.
I will look that up, but by the time I started going in 2007,
it's been gone for a while.
It was gone. But the Jungle Cruise, the amazing thing is, it's the same exact ride when you saw in 1971.
Pretty much.
They just wrote campy dialogue.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what it seemed like,
And what's fun is, like, so the script is 60-70% the same, but then they let the people have a little free reign.
Right.
And I'm telling you, Biff, I've never, you know, it's, the Jungle Cruise is a Pixar movie. Even a bad ride on the Jungle Cruise is still pretty great and a great ride. Honestly, if I have an uncle, distant uncle I don't know about who drops and leaves me a shitload of money and I don't have to work the rest of my life, you know, or if that big lawsuit against Taylor for the money JD's comes through, I would go to Disney, show up every single day and say, you know, what do I have to do to work for free to be a skipper on the Jungle Cruise?
Can I volunteer for this role?
This is my, I mean, look, hey, I know you like to underpay people and treat them like shit. Yep. I'll bring my own Skipper Dan outfit if I have to. That said, you know, I would love to see that in the drive. And of course it's a Disney thing. So it will play with a Disney thing from last year. And the other one, again, I preface it by saying, I know it's going to be bad. I know it's going to be bad, but I want to see Snake Eyes, the G.I. Joe. Do you know the character Snake Eyes?
Not really.
He's the ninja. You never see his face, but in this, it's a prequel, so you see his face in the whole thing.
You think it's going to be better or worse than Mortal Kombat?
It's going to – that's – wow. I'm going to say it's going to be better. I think it's going to be a little better.
I admire your optimism.
But again, I'm not going to walk into AMC and see that. But if I can get the whole family in the drive-in for $20 and there's another movie with it, I definitely would. So at home, my first at-home one, I didn't jump ahead. And it's kind of cheating because I've already seen Army of the Dead.
Okay.
We already saw that.
Yep.
Do you know much about it?
You know, it's the I guess it's like the sequel to one of the franchises, right? It's like is it the Evil Dead franchise or whatever, or one of the franchises?
I don't know. It's directed by Zack Snyder.
Right.
So you know, pack a lunch. You know.
Right.
Do you know where it's set?
I do not.
Okay. If having seen it at home, I would definitely have gone to the drive-in to see this one. I don't know if I go to the theater to see it, but I definitely, because I generally don't like zombie movies. So my wife.
Right, right. You're not a horror guy.
My wife, who likes this shit, says, well, it's somewhere between Shaun of the Dead and, what is it? Like World War Z.
Okay.
The movie, the Brad Pitt movie a few years ago, World War Z.
That was a great movie.
And so I saw that. So I'm like, okay. So we bought it. You know what I mean? We rented it. It was like $20 to watch it at home. I didn't call my cable subscriber and ask for my money back. You know. so it's Batista in a lead role. So again, look, you're not going to need the box of tissues, and there's not going to get a lot of golden glows, but I didn't feel cheated.
Yep.
I don't know anything about this. I started, a commercial came on.
Yep.
It's 30 seconds, and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to the theater again. If it's part of a second feature or a drive-in or the first one, I would see it, but I definitely will watch it at home. The Sparks Brothers?
Yeah, so go ahead and expand on that, because that kind of leads me to a chunk of stuff that I wanted to talk about. So
I think, from what I gather, it's akin to the Ruddles. Do you remember the I don't know who did
Ruddles, or
Flight of the Conchord? You know.
Okay, so yeah.
So go ahead.
No, I thought the Sparks Brothers is not about the Sparks.
Is it a real band?
The Sparks, you don't know who the Sparks are?
I don't.
Oh, I thought that would be more in your
wheelhouse. They're a real band. I thought from the commercial, I thought it was, but then again.
No, I think it's a documentary.
I thought it was a documentary akin to the Ruddles, which anybody doesn't know.
Well, the Ruddles is a mockumentary, right?
Right, which is a mockumentary on the Beatles. Right, right. It's a take where the John Lennon character's girlfriend, Yoko Ono, is the actual daughter of Adolf Hitler.
You know? I always thought that they were like a new wave band, and I've actually seen them live, which sounds crazy. And the reason why I saw them live was because when I was in college, we had a social event going to Magic Mountain, and they were the performers.
I honestly thought it was a mockumentary. So it's a real band.
There's a song called Cool World or something like that that they did with the Go-Go's.
Were they akin to who sings like a Devo type band? Were they
not that? No, they were a lot more popish. They were not, you know, Devo's a lot more, you know, the heavy new wave. But I thought they were kind of, and I don't know what they really are. I don't really know much about their music. But I thought, oh, that's kind of interesting.
I'm in. I thought it was a mockumentary, and I'm like,
that's a legit one. So there's like a chunk of these music movies that are coming out that I want to see in the one of them is Respect, right? So you know that's Aretha Franklin.
I have that on my list. And let me read what I wrote is, I love this music, but not the rest of the family because they are stupid. So management was looking at my notes before, and she just looked at me and she's like, I don't want to see that. I mean, I like, her singing Respect to the Blues Brothers might be my second favorite part of that movie, and she's more than that song. I mean, she's an amazing person, but yeah, I'm 100% going to be watching that probably by myself and happily so, but yeah.
Okay.
That's definitely on the list. And then you got In the Heights.
Okay.
Do you know that? That's a musical.
That's a Lin-Manuel Miranda movie, right?
Right, right. And again, we all love Hamilton. You know, even I will proudly and say, there are some musicals that I absolutely love. I don't want to go. I don't think that's a go to a theater for me, but we will definitely watch it at home as a fan.
So I never saw Hamilton. And the thing is, I feel like, I don't know I used to like the old musicals, right? The My Fair Lady era musicals. You know, I like a lot of those movies, but somewhere along the line, it kind of turned on me. Now, I don't know if I blame Cop Rock for it or, Cop
Rock has a lot of blood on its hands.
Yeah, but I mean, at some point, like La La Land, I guess, was a musical, and I had no interest in seeing it.
Again, yeah. Same thing. My cousin, we'll have him on, who actually wrote a play based on La La Land that did very well, a farcical play.
Right.
No, that had no interest to me. Like that had no interest to me. But we did. We loved Hamilton. I mean, our little guy, our oldest guy.
Yeah.
You know, we almost wore out the soundtrack a year before we saw Hamilton. Loved it. There's other things, you know, the wife going back as an Annie fan, like, you know, the first Annie and Willy Wonka and all that stuff.
Right.
No, if it's playing in the, again, this is on the cusp. It's like, okay, it's playing with this at the drive-in, I would go see it. But we will definitely see it. We'll definitely see it at home.
Yeah, I feel like if it's animated musical, like, I liked Moana, right? Let's, you know, so if it's an animated musical, I enjoy it, but the live action musical, I don't know what it is. And I think it's some stupid thing, but whatever.
Yeah,
but,
like I never saw the high school musicals. That's not my, you know.
Yeah.
I think the home arrest bracelet around my ankle keeps me from even going to high school.
But staying on music for just a little bit, because it kind of has a chunk here.
Yeah.
Have you taken note of Beatles Get Back?
That's going to be interesting because I'm a huge Beatle guy. It's one of those things I haven't listened to. I haven't listened to a Beatle record in 20 years. But if you're driving and a Beatles song comes on and it was, this is the outtake version of the demo sessions for this song didn't make it to the. I still know what songs got cut off the White Album, you know, and what songs Prescott was playing piano on. And I've seen everything. It's interesting that it's Peter Jackson. What's also interesting is like, wait, how do you have 60 hours of unseen footage?
We know that the cameras were there, right? Because we have the famous, you know, rooftop concert, right? So it's that.
Thank you all. Right? We hope we pass the audition.
Right. But, you know, it's I don't know if you ever saw Let It Be, but, you know, it's at a time when the Beatles were basically imploding to some degree, right? There were, you could see the, you know, you saw all the tension. So I'm kind of fascinated to see, you know, what comes out of this, just because it was at that time when things were getting ugly with the band, right?
Nobody in my family will watch that with me. So,
yeah.
I mean, I would maybe see that in the drive-in. Yeah. I could actually possibly even see, okay, you know what? It's a Tuesday. And, you know, when it comes out, if it comes out late August, the boys are both in school and I drop them off. Oh, look, there's an 11 a.m. showing. Yeah. I go see that by myself in a theater. I actually might.
Yeah.
It's interesting that Peter Jackson is helming it.
That is a weird one, right? But I guess it's one of those deals where, you know, he's probably a fan, just like a lot of people. And he just wanted to do it, right? So good for him.
Summer of Soul.
Yeah, that's the other one I wanted to bring up. Yeah.
I knew about that festival.
Right.
I did not know it was the same weekend as Woodstock.
Right. And like, and
what
the
fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, you know, and maybe to some degree, you know, not the same audience, right? Because
a little different, you know.
Right. I mean, you know, the Flower of Love audience is a little bit different than the soul music.
The Sha-na-na. At Woodstock. And for anybody who doesn't know this or thinks Jacques trying to be funny, Sha-na-na played at Woodstock. The Doors.
Yeah.
Did not.
Yeah.
Sha-na-na played at Woodstock. But yeah, no, this looks amazing. Again, it's one of those, oh, fuck, I got to be reminded. When you see, because it also talks about the political things and the arrest and all that stuff. When you see guys who look like me arresting guys who don't look like me and the 70s, I'm okay watching that stuff, except I get so upset. It's like, oh. Wait a minute. Was this last summer or was it? No. That, you know, okay. Wait, that was 50 years ago and the shit's still going on. Yeah, that's a tough one.
That's tradition.
It's tradition. Thank you. But the music, it's like, I'm going down the bands on that. And I'm like, holy shit. And to be honest.
Fucking Stevie Wonder, right? Sly and the Family Stone, right? I mean, like,
dude, I love the Woodstock documentaries. I love some of the bands. I'm like, but honestly, if you asked me when I was 20 or you asked me when I'm 50, if I could get in a time machine and go to one of those, dude, I'm going to the Soul Fest. I'm 100%.
You know, the only reason why there's a singular reason why that's a tough call because of freaking Jimi fucking Hendrix. because
that's take Jimi Hendrix out,
right?
It's a no-brainer.
Because of Jimi Hendrix, it makes it hard.
And Jimi Hendrix there. If you get to see Jimi Hendrix at like Monterey or at Woodstock, it's like or that place in London when they who was his bass player? I'm blanking his bass
player. Noel Redding? No.
But his bass player was a guitarist, and his manager said, "Hey, I want you to come check out this guy tonight. He needs a bass player." And he's like, "Fuck you, I'm a guitarist. Like, you know, you know, I'm a studio musician, I'm a guitarist, I'm not fuck." And he goes, just come to the show. It's like 5 minutes in, the guy's like, "Yeah, I'm his new bass player." You know, but yeah, I mean, there's three or four places where if you can get a time machine and see Hendrix, you have to. Honestly, if I'm given a straight up choice right now, it's like, oh fuck, it's hard to pass up. But when you see that lineup at the Soul Fest, it's like,
I mean, that's the thing, right? If it wasn't for Jimi Hendrix, it's a no brainer.
So there's a lot of music stuff that I'm looking forward to. And again, because the wife isn't into the Beatles and Aretha and stuff, I'm going to see all those at home by myself, which is fine. The other one that I have on the list that I'll see it at home again. Okay. I have a feeling I will see this at the drive-in because this is a movie that will play with, you know, maybe Ghostbusters Afterlife plays with Fast and the Furious 9. And dude, I haven't seen a start to finish Fast and the Furious movie because what do I have? What's that condition I have? Oh, I have a cerebral cortex.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I see the Fast and the Furious. My exposure to Fast and Furious is on the tram ride at Universal because there's a 3-minute part of it where you go through this, you know, 4D immersive, like you're in a chase scene from the Fast and Furious. And even though you're in a tram that's not actually moving, I get motion sickness. It's that good. However, I can't pay to see something like that. And luckily the boys aren't into cars and the wife's not into cars, but I have a feeling I will probably see that at one point, either, you know, at home because somebody wants to watch it who's over, or it's the first feature, the second half of the summer. It will be the first feature, the first half of the summer on one of the screens, and it will be the one that they start off. Have you seen any Fast and Furious?
Oh, I saw like the first four. I mean, they're a lot of fun, right? But yeah. So yeah, I think they're pretty well crafted. I mean, they kind of know what they're doing and they know how to deliver it. So yeah, I think they're well made.
And they know they're not making a movie for me. You know, they're not.
Well,
like,
they're not looking for the Oscar push. Let's just say that.
Man of Raft, or Raft of Man. We love Guy Ritchie. Love him. Like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Yep.
Snatched. I'm trying to think of some of his other movies. It's rated R. If it was PG-13, we probably would see this in the theater with the boys.
Yeah.
My guess is it will be one of those rare occasions when, you know, the wife is home. It's like, hey, you want to spend $4 on getting this? It's like, we'll get it at it. We won't wait for it to be free on a streaming thing.
Sure.
Like next year. But it's something we would definitely rent at home at one point. Because again, that guy just makes great fucking movies. Or fun movies, you know. I mean, yeah, great movies. I would say that Snatch was great, you know.
Okay.
Do you like Guy Ritchie?
I'm not one of those guys that can name like all the movies that he's done, but I do remember there was a few that make that I thought, you know, was, you know, sounded like it was really good. So yeah. And was he the one that was married to Madonna, right?
He was the one who was married to Madonna and somehow convinced her to take up a British accent. so he did The Gentleman, he did Uncle, which was fun. He did Sherlock Holmes, the Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, right. That was the one I was thinking of.
He did a couple.
That was fun.
I'm trying to think what else. Yeah, Lock, Stock, and Barrel. Seven Psychopaths.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw that, but dude, that movie is – the movie's over, and you're like, okay, that's really good. I have no fucking idea what I just watched. Let's watch it again, you know, type thing. So, yeah, I mean, I'd see that in the theater – if it was PG-13 with the boys,
right,
but
right.
You know, it's R, so we'll watch, you know, that one.
Yeah.
The other one that I think I'm going to get roped into watching, I will not go to a theater. So it's not horror. I don't like, I shouldn't say that, because I like The Sixth Sense. I also liked Unbreakable.
Okay.
And I
like M. Night Shyamalan movie.
M. Night Shyamalan movie. It's called Old.
Yeah. I'm kind of with, you know, so right. Because he is an absolute hit or miss. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, but Unbreakable was fantastic. I mean, you know, so I actually haven't seen the whole, story trail. So I have to go see the rest of them, but yeah.
So, sorry about her for a second. Unbreakable was so fucking good.
Yeah.
And he had three or four really fucking good movies back to back to back.
Right.
And then he had a series of flops. Like,
well, it was before the Unbreakable, right? Because it was there's the one with the Marky Mark and the one with Mel Gibson.
No,
right?
but the Unbreakable one came before his flops. And then when he went to do, oh fuck, Samuel L. Jackson's character. So it turned out to be a trilogy.
Right, right, right. So Unbreakable is one of the trilogies.
It's the first one.
Right,
and it's the first one, and it's such a good fucking movie.
Yep.
It's different. It's everything that's right about movie making is that. But then he does these flops. So the second movie, he has to shoot, and he doesn't get to make it for like 10 years,
right.
10 or 15 years. It's a long break, but he shoots it as an independent, dude. Okay. If Unbreakable costs like $80 million to make.
Right.
The second film costs like $5 million, and but he gets Samuel L. Jackson, and he gets Bruce Willis to come in for scale because they believed in it, and he basically self-funded, like almost like a Kickstarter, and that gets so good that they're like, okay, whatever shit you were going through over there, we're gonna put in the final movie to make this trilogy to finish off the trilogy.
So I kind of got screwed up. I was wrong. So I have to see Unbreakable. That's the one with Bruce Willis, right?
Correct, correct.
So the one that I saw was one of the other ones. Split is the one that I saw.
That's it, right. And that's the one.
And that was also with James McAvoy, and that was also fantastic.
That was the last one, right?
Is that what it is? Yeah, I don't know how it is.
What happens at the end of that?
So basically it's James McAvoy's character has these kind of these weird – almost superpowerish kind of thing, and kind of like basically escapes the, you know.
So you missed the middle one.
Okay, that's what it is.
And so Bruce Willis is the good guy.
Okay.
Samuel L. Jackson. Oh, Mr. Glass. Duh, dumbass. Right. Mr. Glass. Yeah. That's the second movie.
Okay.
And then the third movie is with him because he's a really good guy.
Okay.
He's a really bad guy because of the split personalities, depending on what personality.
Right.
You know, and that's really good. So with Old, I think that's a movie. When I looked at the trailer, I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to watch that with the wife. like that's one of those. Hey, you've just watched 4 rounds of playoff hockey over the last 7 weeks. You can sit here. It's if one day we're watching Old trailers, and she says, "Oh, Grease 2," and she watches it. I'm like, "Oh my god, I didn't even know they made a Grease 2."
Oh, you didn't know? What's Michelle Pfeiffer?
She loves the movie, and then it came up. It's like, "Oh, a 2-pack, Grease and Grease 2, for $25." I'm like, and I looked at it. I'm like, "You're not spending $25 on Grease 2." She calmly puts down the remote, turns to me, and says, "Are you fucking kidding me?" And I'm like, oh shit, I stepped in it now. She picks up the Apple TV remote. She goes to the purchased films, where there are about 200 movies of mine. Every Star Wars, Star Trek, you know, Sherlock, I mean, everything. She's like, did you just tell me what I can and cannot buy when we own all of this? And so I picked my teeth up off the floor, but I
never saw Grease 2, so, and I probably will not.
Dude,
but okay,
watch the trailer. if you can. If you can make it through the trailer, it's like if we ever have a challenge tonight, it's like that. It's like, okay, would you rather try to eat a whole, drink a whole gallon of milk at once or watch the Grease 2 trailer? I try doing the milk, even though lactose intolerant. The other movie that I, that I will probably see at home is Reminiscence with Hugh Jackman.
Okay, and that's the one. I think I know a little bit about it. Basically, he's like a guide to your memory, kind of a thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. He it's a little, again, you already used a reference. It's a little bit Matrixy, where he can go into your mind and take you back to like a certain memory and stuff like that, and relive it. And he's your guide in and out. It also seems a little bit like, oh gosh, what was that Christian Bale movie? Not bad.
Dark Knight Returns.
where it's like a dream, or the Inception. It kind of almost dream and a dream type thing.
American Psycho.
Then there's Woman in the Window. Again, I looked at the trailer and I'm like, yeah, this would be a pass for me, but it's, you know, some Thursday night, you know, when she doesn't have to work on a Friday, she'd be like, oh, hey, why don't you watch this with me? And as I go to say, no, I don't really want to. And then she points out that I watched four rounds of playoff hockey over the last 8 weeks. It's like, yeah, I can shut the fuck up and watch this. Same with Peter Rabbit. I'm hoping, because the boys haven't mentioned it yet. The boys, see, your kids passed all this bullshit.
Right, yeah.
Like, I remember one time you came to hockey and you're like, oh, I don't know if you went to see Wimpy Kid, but you had to take him to some movie. And you're
Wimpy
like,
Kid, yeah.
That's 3 hours of my life I'm never getting back. You know, I love my kid.
Let me ask you this. Which would be worse, the Peter Rabbit 2 or Space Jam?
Well, so that's – we'll get to Space Jam. I haven't mentioned that for a reason yet. But we saw the first Peter Rabbit, and it was like, yeah, it's okay. It's fine. And they were younger. What was that, like 5 years ago? So we're talking 8 and 5. It came out. You know, I had to go into a theater and see Chipwrecked. To this day, I will never forgive my son. Like, honestly, I will never. And then one day in Qatar, we got Apple TV, and it was a 4-pack of the Alvin movies. And I bought it for them. Under the condition, you can never play this when I'm here. Like, you know, I'd rather walk in watching my 12-year-old watch porn than watching Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Was Jason Lee in that movie too?
Yes. And the glasses guy, Mr. Show. Why am I David Gross?
Oh my goodness.
David Cross.
Yeah.
He hated the movie so bad, and I guess he signed. He was contractually obligated to do it. Think he tried. I will have to look this up. I don't know if it's urban legend. I don't know if he was doing it just to be an asshole. But when you see his scene, he went from record company executive. He was the evil record company executive to he's the Bailey LA Kings mascot type guy on a cruise ship. He did the entire movie inside the outfit. Like, he would take the hat off. But he wouldn't do wardrobe change. Like, even when they got Chipwrecked and he's in the middle of the ocean, he didn't take the suit off like the whole time. And
that's actually pretty funny.
Right. And I think he said, yeah, I'm going to make this funnier. I'm going to do this, or fuck you. If you're going to make me do this movie, I'm going to do it wearing a furry outfit the whole time. But Peter Rabbit, like I said, it's a hard pass for me, except like I still kind of like my kids. So if it's one of those, hey, get off those screens and let's watch this screen together as a family type thing. Or again, maybe we go to see Ghostbusters Afterlife and it's the first movie. But now onto my list of if I was on a plane and we were halfway through the flight from Boston to LA and this came on, I would walk out of the theater.
Yep.
And I'm going to start with Space Jam.
Yeah. It's like, you know, the original was actually, you know, pretty crappy.
Right. I don't know why it gets lauded so much. Hey, everybody, Michael Jordan, greatest basketball player of all time. Michael Jordan, not the best dude out there.
it's like, you know, like, and just before that was, you know, was Peter Rabbit, right? And like, how do you go from Peter Rabbit, which is like freaking, you know, historically, I mean, it's one of the, to me, one of the more underrated movies in my lifetime, because I'm sorry, but any movie that puts Daffy and Donald in the same scene, I mean, that's crazy, right? That's insanity, right? And then how do you go from that? And, oh, well, you know, we'll use this technology to make, you know, an alien trying to invade the Earth and taking over the bodies of, you know, basketball. Like, what? No.
Dude, it's I'm not a LeBron James fan. You know, like, I never have been and never will be. And I'll preface it. I did not say that I hate the guy. I've never met him. I've never financially been affected by him. But you couldn't pay me to watch his movie.
It has nothing to do with LeBron. It could have been. It doesn't matter who they put in there, right?
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, I just think that, why are we revisiting this premise? It was a garbage premise when it first came out, right?
Because it made a shitload of money.
Yeah,
and it gets lauded to this day. People talk about how great it was. And look, and of course, you know, because like me and all the other Proud Boys out there who are upset that Pepe Le Pew has been canceled. Well, you know what? You want to cancel Pepe Le Pew? Then I'm going to cancel seeing Space Jam. Is it Space Jam 2? Is it a sequel or is it just a straight up remake?
I don't think I did that much research on it. I just saw that that it was a Space Jam thing and it was, you know, LeBron, and that's about the extent of it. And once again, nothing against LeBron. I think, just like when Shaq went into the movies to, you know, diversify and, you know, kind of expand his career for the long term, I think, you know, great on LeBron for doing this, right? I just think that Shaq had the Aladdin movie, right? Was it the Genie movie?
Yep.
The Genie movie.
Damn it.
It's like, you know, I love you, Shaq, but, you know, that Genie movie, you know, not so much.
If it wasn't for that Genie movie, but think about this, we probably wouldn't have him doing car commercials for the General right now. So, you know, the next movie that I will not see, and I want to say on principle, I don't want to see a movie that humanizes Cruella De Vil.
I don't want to see that movie either, because I'm kind of over it with Emma Stone for whatever reason. It's like, yeah, I don't think I need to see another Emma Stone movie ever.
You know, it's for me, it's honestly, it's like, oh, okay. Are you gonna follow this up by doing like the Disney version of the Mike Vick story after that?
Right.
You know, it's like, sure. Now, it's funny, as I was pointing it out to the wife, it's like, I don't want to see the backstory that humanizes, you know, somebody so awful. And she's like, oh, but you're cool with Anakin Skywalker walking into the Jedi Temple and slaying the younglings in the backstory to Darth Vader.
Whoa. Now, you know what? That's not what that is, right? Because that is a singular event in an entire movie, right? It's just like one portion versus you have an entire movie we don't have an entire movie of, let's watch Anakin, you know, slaughter all the kids. That's not the movie, right?
It is the worst thing I've ever seen. It's like, I will never get, but right. So I don't want to see the Cruella thing. I don't want you humanizing her. The Quiet Place, speaking of Emma Stone.
Okay.
Management is taking our 11-year-old to see that in the theater. So I have it on my, I would rather walk out of a plane, but not because it's a bad movie.
Okay.
I can't watch horror movies like that.
Yeah.
The suspense and all that stuff, you know, unless I have the mute capabilities or the fast forward capabilities, I'm not going to watch that. That's something, you know, if I ever have to watch it at home, I'll watch the trailer in the last 15 minutes and call it a day. But management is very looking forward to taking our 11-year-old this week. That's because they saw Quiet Place 1 when he was like 9 in the theater or 8. So.
Yeah, you know, I should probably see Quiet Place because Lori did like it a lot. But yeah. So you're not going to see that Forever Purge either.
No. The whole Purge thing, it's like, it's one of those things. She loved it. She went to see it and she's like, oh, I have to tell you about it. And it was one of those moments where I'm like, please don't. No, let me just tell you this one part. No, please don't. I can't. I know the Purge. I saw the Purge because for a year she talked about it nonstop.
Right.
And I couldn't take it. You know, I literally couldn't take it.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I don't want to know this.
But if there's like a fifth purge, you feel like, you know, maybe they didn't do a good job on the first four purges.
Right.
You know, do a better job of purging, and then you don't have to make so many of these.
And I think the purge, the first one was like the 20th anniversary of the purge, right, in that world, and these are like, right, the backstories. Yeah.
But the first purge was actually, I thought, was pretty good. So
she loved it. She really did. The next hard pass for me, again, for the same reason, Candyman.
That's the one where I said, did you need to make Candyman again? I mean, is that something that needed to be remade? You know,
even my little guy, or he's 13 now. He has said before, it's like, why don't they make new movies? I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Hey, look, like some of them are come out great. Some of them have really come out great. Like I have not seen A Star Is Born, but look, they made that in what? They made that in the 40s. They made it in the 60s, early 70s.
Oh, 70s. Well, the 70s one was Kris Kristofferson and Barbara Streisand.
Right. And that won an Academy Award, and this made an Academy Award. It's like, yeah, sure. But then, you know, there's certain movies, it's like, okay, fine, you know, but no, it's a hard pass for me. Anyways, here's the other one that's a hard pass for me. But yet, I have a feeling I might have to see it. Hotel Transylvania, the new one.
Oh, okay.
What is it? I forget.
I didn't know that one's coming out. Yep.
Yeah. It's like the same thing. It's like the first one was unique and it was fun and it was different. And the second one was, well, you made so much on the first one. I get you have to make a second one. But now then you have a third one where they have a kid. And now it's like, what are you coming up with now? I mean, seriously, what did David Spade, what blackmail pictures does David Spade have somewhere that he on somebody that they're green lighting this shit? And again, you know, you're probably 15 years away from grandkids, so 20 years away from having to take a kid to something like this.
Right.
I'm just like, oh, you know, but that's the fucked up thing about my family.
Yeah.
My 11-year-old, given the choice, go see Quiet Place 2 with mom. So Hotel Transylvania is a pass for me. The only other movie that I saw, a big budget movie, it's called Sola. And it looks like a big budget Law and Order Special Victims Unit. And it's like, yeah, I'm actually watching that again. I picked up on it this season.
Okay.
And I think, God, it was a few years ago when I was in L.A. I hadn't seen it for like 4 years. And I binge watched like 5 seasons, you know, over the course of like a month when management was traveling with the Qataris and the boys and I were living at the hotel. It's like, I had time.
It sounds like it started with somebody like, I can't remember if it was a Twitter or somebody. It was some kind of a social media thing where somebody was tweeting their wacky road trip that involved basically, you know, the sex trade and guns and all that stuff, right? I mean, that's what they're making the movie about, right? I'm thinking, is that a movie that has to be made?
Yeah, you know? And honestly, it's like it's a special victim unit episode where they can show tits. You know that's basically what it is. So
I like the SVUs though.
No, I'm watching it again this season. You know, I'm also watching like, you know, Elliot's spin-off show.
Did you ever watch Criminal Intent?
I did not. Okay, no, I don't know. I was a Law and Order guy.
Well, no, he's also that's another Law and Order franchise, right? So there's Law and Order Special Victims Unit, and Law and Order Criminal Intent.
Oh, is Criminal Intent the new one?
It's newer. I think it is the newest one, but it's been going on for a while. It's not on the air anymore.
Oh, okay. No, I did see that. Yeah. But the new one where. Anyways, we're getting off topic. We'll do a Law and Order thing. I'm really good with I don't even have a desire to see it when it comes on free streaming. You know, it's might I rewatch the trailer and watch the last 15 minutes? Sure. Sure. That I put that on the list. I know people hate when I say I do that, but that's my summer thing. But again, I definitely am going to see Black Widow, Suicide Squad, The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard, Free Guy in the theater. Might see Snake Eyes, Jungle Cruise, Luca, Ghostbusters Afterlife, but I am very anxious to chat with you about Army of the Dead. It's worthy of a sideshow after you see it.
Okay, I definitely have to see it. Probably gonna not be I'm going to be in July because, you know, I have other stuff that I'm watching every day. So maybe maybe when I get to the finals on the off day, I could watch one of these things.
Right, right. Or if they do, if it's a, hey, you know, so that's it. That's it for the for my take on the movies. Yeah. You know, I'll you know, anyways, I'm going to track how many of these I actually see over the summer. But I do. We watch a lot of movies, but we also watch a lot of TV. Unfortunately, at like 2 a.m. and then I'm a zombie like the next day. But it is what it is. And any last thoughts on summer movies, Biff?
You know what? Just excited to be vaccinated, to be able to kind of get out there to even consider this now. So
do you go to do you go to drive-ins?
I have not been to a drive-in in a long time, and I think and there's been a couple that's been revived locally also. So it might
City of Industry is where we always went.
Right. Yeah.
Fun there's fact, some... no city. Man, there's no industry.
There used to be. It's kind of you also have to go onto the other side because from the backside there's a little bit more industry.
Okay.
Because I think that movie theater is right off the 5, right?
And right. So, Yep. But anyways, I'm going to try to keep this log and see which ones I actually see.
Yep.
And that's it. So I think we're done.
Okay.
I'll let you go watch your 2 NHL games. I will watch 1 NHL game. And then if that team wins, I will see what happened in the second game. Cause I will watch, on the fly.
Oh, right.
Like later. Otherwise, I'll see what happened on Twitter. But thank you, Biff, and talk to you next week.
Show starts in 8 minutes. Yum, yum. It's time for a tasty and refreshing snack.